Now the message this morning is revealing the restoration truth by various scriptures. And of course by that I mean that you're going to find scriptures that don't say restoration, but it implies it, or without restoration, these scriptures could not have any truthful meaning in the Bible. So we turn to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 12. And remember, this dissertation comes from a phenomenal miracle ministry such as was not seen amongst ordinary men. By Jesus, yes. But by ordinary men, no. This is the healing of the lame man at the gate beautiful, and this sermon follows it. So you'll know that we're on good ground, that the restoration ministry follows. The restoration ministry of the Word follows a miracle ministry of William Branham such as was not seen since the days of Christ. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. They were wondering what it's all about. And he said, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us?" See? In other words, it's okay to look at us because the deed was done through this channel, but don't keep looking at it. You got to go beyond it. He points them to the Word. As though by our own power or holiness, we made this man to walk. You know, many people, because they've got a great ministry, think they can do with what they got any way they want to do it. This has been the downfall of Pentecost, the downfall of ministry. Because once they get it in their hands, they think this is it. And right away they begin drawing attention to themselves. As I mentioned when I was here, I think the last time I spoke was that a sign has within it the power of two things. It is something to the man who did it, and it's something to the man who sees it. And if you get mixed up by the sign that you produce and make you think you're somebody, see, and lead the person astray, you're exactly where God said you'd be with Deuteronomy 13, which is false prophet. Now, I hate to say this, and as I said, I go home many a time feeling dirty, but I can't help what I say if it's the Word of God. And if I'm going to get tired and feathered forward or judged by God, then let God answer for it. Because I'm saying just exactly what God said. See? See now, and God will not hold me responsible if I've been taught wrong by the prophet. Neither will he hold me responsible for saying something wrong if it's in this Word and it doesn't please people. That's immaterial. I've got no choice in it if people get hurt. See? It's just no fun to preach it yourself. I can realize our brother Branham must have gone home, and no wonder he tossed and turned all night long. And the more he preached, the more haggard he got. I've seen him where night after night he never had an hour's sleep. And you don't get that way by going to meeting and feeling good, praying to the sick, and everybody, hallelujah, jumping up and down. Oh, that's great. When you lay that Word down, and you begin cutting people to ribbons, not because you want to do it, but the Word does it, you don't feel very good. Now, fellas, trusty as I am, might not feel too bad. If you get a fellow tender as Brother Branham, you're going to get a man that's actually cut to ribbons, where he just want to walk off and feel dirty for having said some things he's had to say. Now, notice here, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, that glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. See? Who's going to do all the fussing at the end time? It's going to be the churches. Who's going to lower the boom on us and bring on pressure? It's the churches. The world out there say, "What's the matter with those guys? They ain't bothering you." Because they put them down anyway. But it said, "You, the church, denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." A murderer. Who was a murderer in the beginning? Cain. They'll take the seed of the serpent every time thinking they do God a service. And you can kill the Prince of Life. Who killed the original one that had life? Cain killed Abel. Now it says, "But God raised Christ from the dead. Rub your witness. And his name," he said, "you witness it right now by that man being here. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did all your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the time of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I want to speak in this sometime, but not now. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly sent unto the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall send to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. People didn't know that. They didn't know that promise, and they didn't want it too bad either. See? Unto us first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning to every one of you from your iniquity. Now, in these verses of Scripture, Peter most definitely spoke of two literal physical comings of Messiah, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 12 to 18, you'll notice that he mentions, I'm just reading the one verse 18, that those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Messiah, that's Christ, the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. He's the Messiah. That the Messiah should suffer, he has so fulfilled. This is the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the prophets spoke of it, and all that the prophets spoke of this first coming was fulfilled at that time in the birth and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now then, going on from verse 20 to 24, or you could say 21 to 23, it wouldn't matter, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed, utterly destroyed, from among the people. Yea, and now in here we find the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold, which will be a literal second physical return of him to earth. Now many people don't recognize this, and they get jumbled. They think that Peter was speaking of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he speaks of in verse 22. Although it has a meaning and an application you could apply there, remember, Peter said it's already been fulfilled what the prophet said. And now in the second coming, he brings this verse 22 with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has not been fulfilled at that time, but it will be fulfilled. Now notice in verse 24, it says here, he and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. What days? The first and second coming of Christ. See? A first coming and a second coming. Now, you'll notice, though, that in these two events, that when all the prophets spoke of these two events, they are so confusing, because there are two events and not one event, as Israel thought. Israel only believed in one coming. They believed in one anointed Messiah. They believed in one time of his coming. They believed in one literal coming. And they were stuck on that. And because their interpretation was in error, they missed it. See? And because Christ coming in two events, or two times, was so radically different from their thought, they missed the first coming. See? And also now, the two comings are radically different from each other, and subject to misunderstanding by those who think that they know so much of Scripture. Now, he says here there were two literal comings of Christ, and all that was spoke of him in the first was fulfilled. Now, there's a second coming that the heavens must retain this one until he comes again, and then he tells us about that second coming, and in that second coming, there is going to be a prophet raised up. See? Prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. And if people do not listen to him, then they will be destroyed. Now notice in verse 25, you are the children of the prophet, and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquity. Now in here, Peter definitely links up Israel with both comings. With both comings, yes sir. Not just one, but two. Many people feel that Israel does not have a part in that second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they definitely do. In the first time he came, Israel had a part. And they turned him down, and they crucified him because they were blinded. And then God gave the Gentile bride to Jesus Christ because of Israel's blindness. Now then, in the second coming, he will be coming back upon earth in order to take away a Gentile bride, and then to bring her back and establish her upon earth in that kingdom that Israel misinterpreted to being theirs, and they to have a special place in a material and a world program. But they don't get it, yet Israel has a part in it. Now, you will notice, if we have read here correctly, that Peter does not mention a prerequisite in the first coming, but he does in the second. Now, there was a prerequisite, but he didn't mention it. He does not talk about somebody coming ahead of Jesus Christ in this first coming here. He merely mentions that Jesus has come, and now it's fulfilled. Why? Because it's too late and it'll be fulfilled again. All you can do is look back upon it. And what you do, you take out what Jesus did. Now, I don't care what the prerequisites are. That prerequisite was fine. They turned it down. It was John the Baptist. They turned him down. But now you can't look back upon John the Baptist. That's over. You look back upon Jesus. See, it's all been fulfilled. But now look, in the second coming, he lays down a prerequisite. And the prerequisite is in verses 20 to 23. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. This is a promise. Christ returning physically to Israel, whom the heavens must receive. He cannot come down physically until there has been a restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto you, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. I realize that most people attempt to touch this only in Jesus Christ. And they say if you don't listen to him, you'll be destroyed. That is true. Yeah, you can put this many, many ways. But you notice what Peter is saying. He is saying here that there has to be a ministry of restoration of all that was spoken by the mouth of the prophet before Jesus Christ can come. And then he definitely says that Moses said here, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Speaking of the time of an end time prophet arising on the scene with this ministry of restoration. Now, the prerequisite to Christ coming and setting up his millennial reign, of course, is verse 21. This is the prerequisite. There cannot be a millennial reign. Now remember, Israel was looking for the kingdom of God to be established on earth. They missed it because Jesus came as the Lamb of God as a sacrifice. Now Peter's warning again. Listen once more, he said. You're still looking for the kingdom. It's still a covenant promise, but you'll miss it unless there is a restoration. See? Now, that's where people go wrong. You get a hold of a scripture and you run with it. And you say, well, this is what God said, but he also said. See? They're trying to build today in this world a kingdom of God upon this earth without the prerequisite. And the prerequisite is a ministry of restoration absolutely has to come. But nobody wants it. See? Now, this, of course, is set forth in the book of Matthew. So let's go back to Matthew and check it out. In verse 28 of chapter 16, Jesus said, truly I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste the death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And that's what the Bible teaches. The Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's what Israel wanted. That's what we want. And if we don't want it, there's something wrong with it. See? It's to be in God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Jesus told us to pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See? Now remember, the heavens were purified by something better than the blood of bulls and goats. The heavens have been purified, see? Satan's not up there in that holy place. No, sir. If he's anywhere up there, he's the prince of the powers of the earth and of darkness. But remember, the heavens have been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's will up there. God doing what he wants. Now we also want God's will. Not just a perfect death to self, but in such a position that God's will is just like a beautiful breeze blowing us over us continually. And this has become our light, not a struggle, but a light. See, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told us to pray that. Now he said here, there's going to be a kingdom on this earth, and I'm going to give you a preview of it. And the preview was after 6 days. Peter, James, and John were brought to a high mountain. And Jesus was transfigured. His face shone as the sun. His raiment white as light. And behold, there appeared unto Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now watch this. Remember, he was transfigured. He was changed. His garment was white as light, whiter than light. Face shining as the sun. Now, this is a picture, of course, of the resurrection body, of the resurrection kingdom. Yet when Jesus himself stood upon earth, after he came out of the grave, he looked exactly like a human being. Because he was. He was changed. They couldn't recognize him. I believe his hair was a different color. I believe that. The Bible said he appeared in another form. That means an absolute other form. Mary could not recognize him. The people could not recognize him until he did the sign of the Messiah. That's when they recognized him. As he stood upon the shores of Galilee, they couldn't tell it was Jesus until a miracle was done at his word. Put your net on the other side. Now draw it in. He was so changed. See? Here's a picture of a change. We're also going to be changed. Absolutely. Now, in this changed kingdom, it said Moses and Elijah were talking with him. This is a picture of what is to come upon earth. Glorified saints and glorified bodies in a kingdom where the will of God is done, where Satan is bound, where there's going to be no sin. But there are going to be people living absolute, beautiful, normal lives that they'll be building, and another shall not inhabit. They shall plant, and another shall not eat thereof. And he said the children are going to be like a tree, like planted by the water. Now, notice what he says about this kingdom. Over here in verse 10. After Jesus said, you saw a vision of what's to be upon this earth. And his disciples said, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? See? In other words, they said, here's a picture of the kingdom, and Elijah's in it already. Shouldn't you have showed us a picture of Elijah bringing this kingdom to pass? According to the scribes, Elijah's got to do something about bringing this kingdom about. See? Now, Jesus didn't deny, for he said, Elijah shall truly first come. A lot of people say that Elijah was John the Baptist, who's done coming, there's no more. How they can say they've got the Holy Ghost? To me, how they can even say they've got a third-grade education or an ounce of brains is more than I know. Well, this lays it out so clear here. Jesus did not deny that Elijah must come. This is a picture of the literal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will have resurrected bodies in it. And he said, that's right. Elijah has first got to come. And what's he going to do? He's going to restore all things. See? But in order to place the truth of Luke 1 and 17 that an angel brought to Zacharias, he had to say, Elias is already come and they knew him not. He showed there already was one coming of Elijah. Just like there was a first coming of Jesus. And then there's got to be a second one, as the Word of God sets it forth. Now, notice that this also brings about Malachi 4, 5, and 6. The Elijah's got to precede the kingdom. Now let's look at the picture of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Well, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest thy coming smite the earth with a curse. Here you've got a distinct picture of the second coming of Christ, which everybody knows is the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It's part of that coming. We know that. Now he also says here that Elijah has got to come before that time. Now, bringing these verses together,
see,
Peter said, the times of restoration precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ physically. Upon that mount where Christ took them, and they saw him in a vision, though that he stood right beside them. For all I know, Jesus stood right with the three there. And he himself watched that vision. I don't know. He called it a vision. It said he was transfigured. Maybe he stepped in there and they called that a vision. I don't know. I just leave it be. All I know is that they saw a picture of the kingdom. And Jesus said concerning it, Elijah's got to come and restore. Now I see here in Malachi, the fourth chapter, the very same thing. I see the picture of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, which was not when he came the first time, because they did to him what they wanted. There was no great and dreadful day there. There was no judgment. He never sat as refiner's fire. He never pronounced judgment. No, sirree. That part of his ministry was left to another day, which is 2,000 years later. And right in here, we see Elijah coming. So therefore, there is a restoration ministry by the prophet Elijah, which must precede the second coming of Christ. And if you don't see that ministry, then don't look for his coming. People get, I don't know, I guess because we know so much on this subject, we've been so thoroughly trained by the prophet, we get a little impatient. But I do have a great impatience with people who all the time talk about getting to number four before they reach number three. We all the time talk about what's around the corner before they get to the corner. Now there's simply no use of anybody even talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ until first of all there's a restoration ministry by Elijah. See? But they keep doing it. And they shouldn't do it. Which shows their ignorance of the truth. Now, this ministry of restoration is a prophetic ministry that reconciles the word of the prophets to this great event, the second coming. And I want to repeat that. This ministry of restoration, because we know, we can see by Scripture it's got to come. What is it? It is a prophet ministry or a prophetic ministry, a ministry of a prophet. Not prophetic as though he tells you the future and just leaves it there. But it's different. It's a word ministry. See? It's a prophet ministry that reconciles the word of the prophet to the great event, the second coming. Now let me tell you why I say that. It has to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back now to the Acts, the third chapter, and look at that 18th verse. But these things which God, but those things which God had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Now, you can take by history and what we know to have transpired, we can take the scripture that spoke of the first coming of Christ and absolutely identify it because we know what's happened. But you can't do that with the second coming because you're looking for it. See? After that takes place, it's all over. You can't look back. It's finished. The bride's made up. She's been caught up. And that's part of the kingdom of heaven on earth. You're either in it or you're not in it. He that is righteous still. And he that is filthy still. Why? Because I come quickly. See? Now, you've got to have then the word reconciled to this event. Because when he came the first time, the word was not reconciled to the first coming. You follow me? They didn't know about this first coming. They were absolutely wrong. As Brother Branham said, Jesus came according to the Scripture, but not according to their interpretation of Scripture, and therefore they fell by the wayside. And then when they tried to get in the kingdom, it was too late. And Jesus said, it's going to repeat because they're going to knock on the door and say, Lord, let me in. And he'll say, I cannot let you in because the doors are shut. It's too late. See? Now, there is then a reconciliation of Scripture to the second coming. Now, let's go to Matthew the 12th chapter and see this. A reconciliation. Verses 22, beginning. And there was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed it. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the mouth, abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, you notice in the day when Jesus was here upon earth the first time, he said, "You can say what you want about me. See? You can do it. It's all right, and you'll be forgiven." Why? Because he was the sacrificial Lamb of God. So therefore, as a sacrificial Lamb of God, how could he hold anybody in contempt? He even said unto them, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." But if there should come a man who precedes the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he, by the Holy Ghost, being that prophet, reveals and reconciles the word of God to that age, there can be no forgiveness, because it's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Absolutely none. There was forgiveness back there. That first time, he said, "You can say what you want, it's all right. You can do what you want," and they did what they wanted, and it was all right. In fact, it was so all right, my brother and my sister, that in all the ages, under the fifth seal, all of Israel, the true seed of God that was blinded, will come up in the second resurrection, and there they will have a part in the kingdom which they missed on earth, because they turned down Jesus through blindness. They're forgiven. See? But at this end time, see, when the Holy Ghost comes, and the Bible says, listen now, when that prophet comes, and you don't hear that prophet, then you shall be utterly destroyed. That never happened back then. See, no sir. But there's coming a time. Why? This has to do with the second coming. So there's got to be a man who reconciles the scripture to the great event of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they missed the first coming back there. And he said, "I'll forgive you," but up here he says, "I'll never forgive you. I'll destroy you." You follow that? I don't care how obscure it sounds. And how people say, "Well, I wish I understood it better." So do I, but I'm not God. But I know that's what it says. I know back here he says, "All manner of sin is forgiven." Go ahead. Call me that wicked one. Go ahead. Call me serpent seed. That's fine. Nail me to the cross. That's good. And he forgave them. But he said, "There's coming a day when you won't be forgiven." And it says right over here in Malachi and the book of Acts, it says, "Everyone that will not hear that prophet," he said, "he shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." He said, "Brother Dale, what about the folk that hear him too late?" They heard him. It's not the second resurrection. But you fail to hear that one, the Bible said you'd be destroyed. See? I know people might shake their head and say, "Well, that's got to be all. I just will not type that any place but Jesus Christ." And that's all, if you go ahead and type it. Because we could, I can show you how Jesus is that prophet, though he appears in a man, sure. They'll never understand that, but you do, so we'll let it go. Now, you will notice that I said this restoration ministry was a word reconciliation ministry. Which it is. Because the word restore often means to restore to its place a dislocated joint. See? That's what restore means when you talk about health. See? Now remember, the Bible says the whole body's full of putrefying sores. The Bible says every table's full of vomit. If there ever was an unhealthy bride and an unhealthy church, it's the overseas church age, where she's wretched and miserable and naked and doesn't even know she's stripped. See? She doesn't know. Now, what a miserable shape she's in. She's sick. The whole church word, the bride is sick with her. Anybody that can enjoy vomit is sick. See? Actually, you know one thing, when you vomit, you shouldn't swallow it. A dog does it. The minute you bring it up, you try to rid it, even if it goes back on your head because it burns you and you can't stand it. Neither can the bride stand vomit. See? And once she got rid of it, she can't get her back to it. Because Brother Branham said, once you hear this, you really hear this message, you're spoiled. See now, to restore to its place a dislocated joint. Now what's a dislocated joint? Well, it's like my wrist here, that's out. See? I've got to treat it where it is. Now the Bible will treat a dislocated joint. Now the dislocation is in the Scripture. And remember, Brother Branham said, don't you dare dislocate or mislocate a Scripture. The trouble is that you go to a doctor, and of course these are theologians. These doctors, theologians, they're the worst kind of work. I know there's a lot of MDs that are next. They're bad enough. But the theologians are worst of all. Now, if I went to a doctor and I said, now, I've got a dislocated wrist, put your foot up here, Mr. Bill. I said, put it, my foot up there, you've got to be sick. I said, Mr. Bill, so don't worry about that, just put your foot up and I'll take care of your ankle. The foolish guy's got to be nuts. That's the church theologians. He goes back to Luther, he goes back to Wesley, he goes back to Roman Catholic Church, he goes over here, he goes over there, but he can't put the Bible in its place. I can show you the more I read my Bible case after case where God Almighty deals in times and eras, as Brother Branham said. He has a word for every age. And in this scripture we're studying, we showed to you conclusively that there's a mislocation of scripture concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, especially on the fact that Elijah must come. Now, how many know about his coming? And hardly one half of 1%. That's a quarter of 1%. I mean, you have 1/10 of 1%. Who knows anything about it? And you say, what do you do about it? And they don't do anything. So you know what it's like? It's like the doctors who look at your appendix. And they look at that appendix and they say, well, you know, I don't see any use to that appendix. So I went for a gallbladder operation. And they say, well, while you got him open, zip out his appendix. And I say, zip or that. Because God put that appendix there. I was born with that appendix. And if I was made right by God, that appendix is necessary in my body. But you see, the people, like the theologian, they don't know any better. And you say, what about the fact Elijah's come? Or they say, I don't like that, zip him off. Now, if you cut your appendix off, see, which is Elijah must first come, then you mutilated the word of God, you made God a fool. See? But people don't look at it that way, see? Now, God put that scripture in there. God said it's got to come. So therefore, at the end time, this man with this prophetic ministry is going to reconcile the joint. See? He's going to put it in its proper place. Now, let's go to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and see this. Verses 11 to 16. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now listen, you show me one place where God makes a mistake. He said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And my Bible says he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets. And listen to me, when he gave some apostles, he gave some that were more apostles than others were apostles. But they're both apostles. Because the original 12 apostles are in a place all by themselves, they being the foundation of the church with the prophets having dropped the word, and the rest of the apostles from that time on do not fall in that complete category, though they are indeed apostles. You follow me? So, when he says, I gave prophets, and he gave the original prophets to bring the word, then why cannot God fit in another prophet, which is different from any other prophet? Because he's a prophet. Right? So then, it fits right in here. God says he brings prophets on the scene. And what's he going to do? He's got evangelists, and he's got pastors, and he's got teachers. For what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the body? The bones and the structure that's down here. See? Now, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That can only happen when the last elected member to the body of Jesus Christ is brought in. You can't have a full stature of that man. You can't have a full stature of that bride until every single member is brought in. So therefore, there's got to be apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists until that last one comes in. See, now this gets rid of your thought, well, can we have a church without a pastor? The least you can possibly have is an ordained elder. Let him do the work. Okay? Now, why? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See? Until this takes place, there is a possibility of people being deceived. Sure. Until we're brought up into that very headship of the Word, as Brother Branham called it, putting on the very mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, at this point, we are not in the kingdom of God on this earth. We are in the spiritual kingdom, but not in the physical. Because His kingdom is not of this world. It will be when that stone comes down and breaks every kingdom, grinds it to dust and powder. Then will He sit upon the throne of David. But until that time, we are pilgrims and sojourners here. And our home is not this earth. But we're heaven-bound. We're strangers here. Now listen, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Every joint, we're talking about people. Yet we're talking about the Word. As Brother Gannon so clearly brought us, that we're growing up into the full body of truth. Why? Because every member of Christ is what? He is a Word. A manifested Word, seed, Son of Almighty God, and each one must be in his right place. Now, he said, every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There cannot be this thing take place until there is a reconciliation within the body, which is the Word revealed to the bride, and this ministry puts it back. See? People think they're effective ministering members of the body of Christ. They think that everything is all right just on the ground they're born again, that they think they're born again, and they bypass this ministry. How in the world can this be when the Bible distinctly says at the end time there's an absolute dislocation? There is a dislocation in the bride. She's a myth. Absolutely. Until the ministry comes to reconcile and positionally place everyone how? To the Word of God revealed. Coming into one mind, which is under Jesus Christ. Here's where that arrangement is. They said, well, you're a part of the body of Christ. Do you know your ministry? So they laid on hands and said, thus said the Lord, you're this and you're this. I've had so many hands laid on me to be so many things. I turned out to be a chameleon. If you're pretty of any place I was another color. Well, the Bible says we all think to be to all men. That's okay. But there's only one thing you can be to God, and that's one way. The way He puts you. So people put you here and people put you there. They don't understand that the place that the bride being positionally placed even to the individual lay in the reconciliation by the Word. Why? So that you would be an absolute Word member of the body of Jesus Christ, and that's all you need to be. They wonder if I'm a great prayer warrior. Well, you're a Word member. That takes care of it. Well, I wonder, maybe I've got a witness. I'm one of those cheerful givers. You'd be a Word member. That takes care of it. Well, I wonder if I could be somebody in the body of Christ like an elder. You'd be a Word member. That'll take care of it. See? That's all. No, you worry about ladder rings. No, no. God places the offices how He wants. You're even wrong to ask for a gift. Pentecost went off in that line. Because Paul said, I would you all prophesy. You sure I'm glad you're speaking tongues, but I would you all prophesy. Paul made some statements of comparison, and they ran off with it. And they thought, oh boy, this means one thing, that means another thing, and they got all mixed up. See? a word member, make sure you're in that word. That's what counts, see? Now, let's look at this 14th verse here. That we henceforth be no more children. What are you going to be for not a child? Growing up into Christ. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. If when we grow up into the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, then we are going to be one with Him by that word. Now, no more talk to and fro. Carried out every wind of doctrine, every teaching. No. What have we seen for 2,000 years? We've seen every single kind of teaching there was. We've seen the bride with this teaching and part of another. We've seen her only part way there. But there's coming a day when we grow right up into Christ, who is that word. See? And what does it say? We'll no longer be tossed to and fro by the sleight of men. Cunning practice, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, not with a club or a hatchet. Although sometimes you've got to get pretty rough. You know, if you've got an axe to grind of your own, that's different. Or if you're trying to scare somebody your way, that's different. I know a fellow running around the country telling folk if they don't tie to him, they'll die. I think somebody did die, and that scared the rest of them. Well, I got news for you. If anybody told me that I was going to die because I didn't pay tithe, I'd laugh in their face. And like you'd be mean enough to kick the tombstone over when they die first. Where do you get that nonsense? But you can fool people almost anyway. See? But when you grow up, if you're a true member of Christ in the true ministry, you'd never use the word except in love, even though sometimes it's cunning. You can't help that. But to teach and show where it goes, that's what counts. And then the Bible says, you people, under the ministry, you won't be fooled anymore. You won't be fooled. I can talk sweet and nice and try to pull you away. Give you a sob story, try to pull you away. It won't affect you one bit. You wonder why you're laughing inside while you're crying on the outside. You just can't get fooled. See, they're coming. Now listen, this has not been. See? The last member has not come in. They have not at this time. Now, Paul mentions also here in Ephesians, the second chapter, 19 to 22. He says, now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed grows together into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you're also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. An habitation of God? Do you ever hear of a half? When did God move into the temple? When the temple was completed. See? When will there be this dynamic life of the Holy Spirit? Sweet the bride. When the last member has been brought in and that temple is complete so God can manifest himself down here on earth through the bride. Now this is coming. See? So, but every joint must be restored. The bride must come back to health. And what is her unhealthy condition? Her unhealthy condition lies in corruption. And what is corruption? It is the misplaced or the misunderstood or the misinterpreted word of God. In plain English, it's the perverted word. Now, let the bride get back where her bloodstream once more is the word of God. Remember, the life is in the blood. Is that right? All right. Now, where is the life of Christ today? In the bride. So what is the blood of Christ? Now, this is Brother Brown's quote. It's the life, the blood of Christ is the bride because the life is in it. Now, let that bride be absolutely have that pure word of God, where the speak of the Spirit and the Word are one. Now, let the true Holy Ghost absolutely unbound, unblemished by the Word reside in that bride. She will absolutely be sought for Christ, which she's got to do at the end time. Now, that's what the prophet taught. I can only go by what he taught. Now, when the joint is no longer dislocated, and the body is restored, and restored means perfect health, then perfection has come within the bride. And the Bible speaks so, and that which is perfect come, and then that which in part is done away. And there's about four places in the Bible, and I've never looked them all up, but each time I find something new on it, and maybe I'll get a sermon someday on it, concerning that thought of perfection. There is coming a day of perfection, and that day of perfection lies in the bride when she becomes perfect through this restored ministry of the Word. Then Christ can come for her, and not until then. See? Why? Because she must have this perfect bloodstream to be herself the blood. Otherwise she couldn't be. She's mixed up. See? There's no health in her until this point. Now, restoration also means brought back to integrity and the promise established or fulfilled. Now, how is God going to have a promise to the bride and put her in that kingdom unless there is the promise is established to her. And now you see, Israel had the promise, but it wasn't established to her. You know why? Because they turned down John. They wouldn't listen to him. You behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus said that John was the servant of God, and God bore witness to him. He said, I've got a greater witness than John, than John ever had. And they turned down John, and they turned down Jesus Christ, see? Now, the promise is established, see? This is that promise of him coming again, properly revealed, in order to establish it, because God cannot come back to a creed or a dogma, or a misinterpretation, or a misapplication. See? Well, I'm looking for Christ to come this way. Well, what if he's not going to come that way? What does it mean to you? Okay, well, I think God will overlook it. How can God overlook it when he answers according to faith? If your faith is in the wrong thing, you'll never make it. I know this is a hard thing to say, and here's where I think you get feeling dirty as a preacher. And you let the people know. Paul said, if we say that God raised up Christ and Christ does not raise up, our faith is vain. If I say Christ is coming a certain way and he's not coming that certain way, my faith is vain. You say, well, yeah, but brother, there surely, no, look, don't surely God nothing, because if you've got that kind of an attitude, then why isn't the world spinning and falling apart right now? Isn't it funny how we want God to be so good in one place and so lousy the next place? We're as infantile as I was when I was a kid, and I used to pile my arms full of wood. And then I'd take a stick of wood like this and pile up, because, you know, the Irishman's load, where you're taking one instead of two loads. You know, he takes the wheelbarrow and fills up so high, he breaks his back to get there. And that's how I was always in the road. And I'd pile up. And then, you know the center of gravity is a shift. What happens? Your wood falls over. And I'd throw the thing down and cross the blue street, get some land. And then I realized one day, what do you mean such a fool? There's a center of gravity. You want the center of gravity to work over here, but you don't want it to work here. Wouldn't that be great? So then the church is just as silly, infantile, childish. And they want God to work over here exactly right, then over here they don't want it exactly right.
Amen.
See? Oh, they look back upon Calvary, and they say, glory to God. Notice how he fulfilled that word. Now you Jews, listen, you Jews. I'm going to tell you something right now. See, you missed it. You missed it. See Isaiah 53, Psalm 59, 35, and 22. There it is. Why don't you shut up, you big mouth? How come you want to nail him down, you don't want to nail yourself down? You want to scream how accurate God is and how God doesn't bend and God doesn't move? And then suddenly now on this day we've got a God that moves. Well, your father really doesn't matter. like I told you, this kid up in Lebanon, he talked about this little Catholic nun speaking in tongues and all. And she still said, Hail Mary, and glory to God, and kisses the Pope's toe and everything else. And raise up, the Pope is a vicar of Jesus Christ, the priest can forgive us sins. And the Pentecostal guy said, Well, she loves Jesus. Well, she loves Jesus. How sick can you get? Oh, you want the word here, but you don't want it there. You see what a mess we're in? Unless this word is absolutely reconciled, every single one of us will miss the rapture. You've got to see that, because, brother, sister, your faith is based upon the word of God, and not what you think the word of God said, but what God really did say. Now, I'll prove something to you right here, because you're intelligent people. If I were to read a statement for 2 minutes only, let's cut it down to just 1 minute, because I usually talk to you fast, and I read to you fast. Just give me 1 minute to say one thing. I would challenge 6 men to tell me exactly what I said from what you heard me say, because you'll think I'm saying a certain thing, and I'm saying something else maybe different. Now, you mean to tell me that someone can stand up here without a revelation of the Word of God and really tell you what God meant when he said? Can't do it. And yet we've got to have that revelation in order to be one with God's word in faith, in order to receive the promise.
Amen.
There is no established word in this record here until God demonstrates it by somebody performing or showing that it's the truth. Like as I've been saying the last little while, I say it again, you cannot prove the Bible by the Bible. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Baptists prove the Bible by the Bible. And the Methodists come right around and prove the Baptists are wrong by proving they're right by the Bible. Isn't that great? You know the best thing to do? Get a club and kill each other. And that's what denomination is. It's death. Certainly, it's death. You can see it. It's logical. You can't prove the Bible by the Bible. There's only one way this Bible is proved, and that's by coming into full revelation by its manifestation.
Amen, brother.
If Brother Branham said, he used to say yesterday to him, let's see if you'll come and do it. And he came, and he did it, proving it. As John the Baptist said, I am that Word of God come to life. I am Matthew 40. I am Malachi 3. I am part of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And William Branham could stand up and say, I am Revelation 10 and 7. And by me is the fulfillment of Luke 17 and 30. Period. Was brought into absolute manifestation, and he proved it. Everybody else running around circles. Then who's right? There's only one way to know it's right, and that is the promise must be established. The covenant must be brought into view. And brother, sister, the covenant of Jesus Christ has said, where I go, I'm making a place, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, is based upon a covenant that is established only on the ground of Elijah ministry. Because that's what the word means, restoration. You see, establish the covenant. You cannot have a creed or a dogma to do it. Until there is a true revelation of his coming. Now listen. Until there is a true revelation of his coming, he cannot fulfill his covenant to the people, just like it says in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, because if I don't, I'll come to destroy utterly and not fulfill my covenant of a kingdom. Oh, that sounds dead, doesn't it, you try to tell that to the church world? They say, He said, you need to have a, pardon me for laughing, because I've got an answer for you there in the view, but you really don't believe that, do you?
I sure do.
Yeah, but you see, you don't believe that God Almighty is, now listen, we're dealing with God, brother, then. You make this fellow something like a pope. He's got to come in between. And okay, then why don't you shoot Moses, raise him up and kick him in the teeth? Go and get Paul and stomp the entrails out of him. Grab John by the bad leg and push his teeth in. You say you believe the Bible? You're following nothing but a man, because men wrote this book. And they got between us and God. Look at the church. He said you can't come to perfection except for the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and now, is that putting men between men and God? If God said something, you got to do it. But Brother Graham said it's true, there's no holy man. What is it? It's God's way of doing things. It is not that any man can come between another man. It is not that at all. It is the Holy Spirit doing it through his ordained channels. So when we bring the word this morning and tell, without fear of contradiction, Jesus himself said by the prophet that Elijah must truly come first. And by the mouth of Malachi said, behold, I send you. Now, Malachi didn't say, behold, I send you, prophet. Who's Malachi? He's got a funny name and nobody knows nothing about him except a little book in the Bible. Who's Malachi? Nobody from nowhere. Malachi never sent anybody anywhere. Malachi couldn't say one thing about sending anybody. It was God in Malachi. It wasn't Malachi speaking, it was God speaking. And the Holy Ghost said, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite utterly the world with the curse. The very same thing that Peter said. See? Now, to set the body of truth in order, now listen, to set the body of truth in order, which it does, because we've got to get in order for the end time. Listen, let's just be logical here. Let's just be logical. Who in the name of common sense ever saw a kingdom just come? Ain't no such animal. Kingdoms don't just come. You gotta build them. And there is no scripture that says Jesus' kingdom just come. People think it does because, listen, we are made up of the bride that's gonna take that kingdom. And the church thinks, oh, well, he'll just come and take over. No, he doesn't just come and take over. No, sirree. He's got a way of taking over. And the way of taking over is by the Elijah ministry. The kingdom just don't come. See? Now, to set the body of truth in order is to set the bride in order, which we've been talking about. Because remember, we're coming to the whole body of truth, and remember, the truth is Christ, and we are His body, so therefore we must be completely identified with the Word for our day, just as they were back in their day. And what is it? Because this is the day of the second coming of Jesus Christ, the truth is in reference to it. A bride that shall not be dead, but shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. So the bride will be set in order, which is the body of truth. So those who come under the Elijah ministry, there is the promise of the rapture. For they cannot be on earth when the sixth seal is here. And the sixth seal is the smiting of the earth utterly. And everything that's on it feels it. You say, what about those people, Brother Dale, that see the message too late? What about those 144,000 elect Jews that don't have a part for the end time? They feel everything on this earth. And in fear of their life, they stand till Christ appears to bring them out of their misery. There is no one that doesn't feel it, my brother, my sister. Only the bride, she's gone. For behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, lest in my coming I smite utterly. That's the sixth seal. The earth feels the wrath of God. The church is purged, and Israel is purged. Three purging going on under the sixth seal. And the bride cannot be purged, because she shall not come into judgment. Neither is a plague added to her. Neither is her name taken out of the book of life. Why? Because she is one with that word. She doesn't have one creed or dogma, but she is what? Reconciled. She's healthy. She's restored. See? How? By the restoration ministry. See? Now, she's gone in the rapture before the sixth seal. Now, this is simple, but I believe very evident, a very evident understanding of Scripture. Now, to recapitulate, to put it thus, God has made a covenant guarantee to set up His kingdom on earth with the headship being His own throne on earth. That's in Matthew. He said, I'm going to do it. He has made a covenant to take a certain people into that kingdom. Thirdly, He has to return to earth to do it. And fourth, He has promised to send Elijah to prepare the way for the kingdom He set up. Fifth, that preparation is a message that restores the truth of the second coming, reconciling the whole Word of God. You see, got to go back, because there are certain things they never understood in the first century. Paul preached it, but they never understood it. Christ said it, they never got it. They have for their day, but now at the end time, in the mind age, there will be a complete reconciliation of all Scripture with each other, because they without us cannot be made perfect. They cannot be perfect without us. We can't be without them. The whole body coming together, and the last day under the headship of the Word, they're going to come out of the ground, we're going to be here standing here. The whole Word must be reconciled, even as the whole body is reconciled. See? Now, bride and word, getting the bride ready. See, the body of truth, which is the word, and the body, which is the body of Christ, and Christ had you. Now, this is without a doubt Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Let's go back. We know this, your brother Brown talk. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. See? Who's the bridegroom? The one coming to the bride. Five of them wise, five foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, no oil with them. But the wise took oil within their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, now he doesn't sleep. The Holy One of Israel doesn't sleep. But the virgin sleeps. Some go to the dust, and so on. At midnight there was a cry made, behold the bridegroom, not cometh. Stroke that out of your Bible. I've told you that a dozen times. He doesn't come. That word's not in the Greek. It's behold the bridegroom. Because he's not coming at that time. Behold him. He's not here, back here on earth. This is the Elijah message. Now, Now it says go out to meet him, not go out, come out. In order to meet him. See? Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. It's lamp trimming time. See? Have you ever seen such a time of lamp trimming? Everybody's trimming their vessels, their lamps. Baptists are saying, well, Methodists are right. Methodists are well, Baptists are right. Everybody says Pentecost is right. Never was a time of such changing your doctrine. Getting that old witch trimmed down. See? Now, then the third day they said, the dirty said the wife, give us of your oil. That's it. There's a great sweet back to the Holy Ghost. Nine. And the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather them that sell and buy for yourself. Now, of course, this is in a parable. So some of it you just got to kind of disregard because it just, it's a picture you want. We don't know the inner meanings of it all. We just get the outer meanings. And while they went to buy the bridegroom came. Now notice, he does come now. Brother up there looking around, trying to get the Holy Ghost. But remember, they're bypassing the Word. How can you get the Holy Ghost without the Word? See, because the Holy Ghost has got to come according to the Word. And now that the Word has been given, you tell me these folks out there getting the Holy Ghost apart from the Word? Impossible. They're getting an anointing. See, all they're getting. I know people don't understand that, but listen to me. If you listen to the prophet, you understand there's only one original light, that's God. There's only one original everything. Everything from there on is a perversion or the wrong usage of that which is right. That's all. And the Bible said all things are pure to the pure in heart. Show me one thing that's not pure to the pure in heart. A bottle of liquor? Sure, take a slug of liquor. You got a bad cold? You got a bad stomach or something? And all things are pure to the pure in heart. You did it exactly when the Bible said that's okay. And what about acquiring goods on this earth? Is there anything wrong with a man making a good living? Certainly. What's wrong with the rich man? He wants money for the sake of money instead of making jobs for those who need jobs. Wrong. Adultery. It's the right act put in the wrong place. A lie. It's the truth perverted. Because the lie has got to be based upon the truth. Or no man could ever say it. It's got to be something out there for real. And he changes it. There is not one thing that's not been made good. The Bible says concerning Satan, thou wast put in all thy ways till iniquity was found thee. What did the devil do? He took the things and used them wrong. See? There is nothing today that hasn't been right in the first place and is now it is used wrong. We got the same thing today, as I mentioned here, in the Word. There is nothing wrong with the Word. There is a perversion of that Word where people have gone wrong. They've changed it. Until now, with the change of the Word, and remember, the bride is a Word bride, so she has got to have unperverted Word. And with the unperverted Word, she has to know, listen, what to do with the Word when she has it. I could memorize every one of these tapes, and then turn around to do the following for myself and a few people. I could take everything and nail it up, but I'm still perverting it. See? That's why a lot of people come in this message and they think they hear it. See, I believe the prophet's message. Then they do 15 things compared to the Word of God. That brand's right there to a million miles off. He won't work. This bride here, she's got reality. See? She's got the real Holy Ghost by the Word. But remember, these over here, they have stuck their branches in to the tree. And they're getting that same Holy Ghost like we have, but they're perverting it. So how can they be full of the Holy Ghost? They can't be. See, you follow me when I'm talking about that original light back there. Original everything. And that's why there's one book of light. Lamb's book of light. It was the original light. God gave it to Adam. Adam passed it to Eve. They passed it on to Abel. Righteous Abel. Why was he righteous? And Cain wasn't. Had a wrong package. Abel had the right one. See, what was it? The light that was from God was in Adam, was in Eve, and put the two together, right back to one child, Abel. Blood, the lifeline never came to Cain. It was what? It was the light that God gave to both. He gave to Adam. He gave it to Eve. He gave the serpent light. And that light in that serpent was just as good any day as the life of that man. Now, I mean as originality. Just as original. Just as pure in its proper place. See? But get them together. Using it wrong. You've got a hybrid. Now you've got the same thing today. People say, I want the Holy Ghost. God gave a promise. I'll put my spirit upon a double L flesh. Has he done it? Sure he has. Just like he said he did. But where? Apart from the Word. Now they come. Everybody talking in tongues. Everybody carrying. Seeing white light. Seeing this, seeing that. Are they getting anointed? Sure they're getting anointed. Don't you doubt it. It's the real Holy Ghost too. Good. Absolutely. But it doesn't go down in the soul. And remember, there's an inner soul and an outer soul. You might not have caught that. But on the tape, right, I was confused that I heard Brother Branham mention an inner soul. And if there's an inner soul, there's an outer soul. That's why the Bible says the beast does have a soul. But Brother Branham said it didn't have a soul. It doesn't have the inner soul. It's merely that outer part that contacts the world that he's got. So he goes by instinct. As he said, dogs still don't wear clothes. Yeah, just like they did millions of years ago. There's been millions of years here, or thousands of years ago. But man can think and man can change. He doesn't act the same. He's got an inner. He's got an inner soldier. He's got something God can work on. He doesn't work all the way by his senses. That's why man educates himself. He grinds himself down, denies himself. Instead of being instinctive like an animal, he takes care of himself. But he's got that shell like an animal, yet he's got something inside. See? That inner soul. Let the Holy Ghost get down in that inner soul. You've got a difference. Why? Because that's the Word. See? Now, let's take a look at this. The beast had a place for soul, but no soul. What's serpent seed then? Serpent seed is a combination of the soul without what goes into it. Because there's something lacking in that person. Jesus said, the reason you can't hear my word is there's no placing before the word. Did he say they couldn't get an anointing? They got an anointing. They prophesied. Absolutely. They cast out devils. Sure they did. You've got the same thing right today. You've got a certain class of people. You've got a religious people. And they've got something in here. And they've got something that's not in there. There's something missing in their soul. And that soul cannot cry for the Word of God. It cannot identify with the Word of God. But you get a genuine seed of God to cry for the Word of God. He'll identify with that Word of God. Why? Because he's not just out here in the soul. He's something deep in here. So that now at one time, he is both a physical and a spiritual creation. Sure he is. Now let the Holy Ghost fall in here. You watch, he'll identify that Word every time. And that Holy Ghost in here will never say, well, that fellow, well, he could be right, he could be wrong. That Holy Ghost in here will never say, well, I don't know, I think what it is, he's fine when he talks about people's troubles and analyzes their conditions, but when he talks about the Word, I can't believe him, I'll believe it, I got it there. Something wrong. Out here, they're fine. That other soul, they talk in tongues, they look good, they talk nice, they are sweet, they win souls, they say the right thing at the right place and all. But get them against that Word, they'll turn it down, they cannot go word for word, line upon line. Why? Because it's in here, it's in the inner soul. And what is the point? That goes right back to animal, brother, sister. I hate to say it, but it goes back too far to the animal. Now listen. He said, while they were went to, they said, give us laws. He said, go to those that buy and sell. To sell. Go to yourself. See? How can you give anybody a revelation? How can you do it? Tell me about this. Well, what about this prophet? You see him on every hand, Pentecostal. They'll listen slightly. Somebody else listen. But then you watch them. They'll never go down the line with that word. See? Because they knew he was a great one. Oh, of course, they're getting bold. Now, the oneness are getting very bold. They're saying that Brother Branham is a very, very vile man. All over the country now, they're claiming, you know, that he was in all kinds of sins. Well, they're bound to say it. It just shows what they are. See, the closer you get to God, the farther away you are if you miss it. Remember, Israel was the only one who had God at all, and he screamed out, take their names off the book. If he hung there in Psalm 69, people often wonder where I get that in the Bible. It's Psalm 69, he screamed it out. They don't wonder where it is in wrong. Look up yourself, right in there. Daniel, David speaking by the Spirit, take their names off the book. See, reprobate them. They're finished, they were reprobate, finished, see, all together. Why? Because they were the closest yet the furthest. And you've got Pentecost right today, the closest yet the furthest. And the more you speak in tongues, being not one of the seed, the more you prophesy, the more you pray for the sick, not being true seed, that's the closer you get and the furthest you are at the same time. just like Israel. See? Now, notice it says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, when does this take place? After the cry, behold the bridegroom. Great clamor. After the men. Brother Branham said that was the message. The anointed Elijah coming. Then there would be need. Now, afterward came the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Wherefore, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, what is there about this people that's different? See? Is the fact that they're virgins, and there's two classes. And one is a wise virgin, and one is a foolish virgin. Now, what would be the difference then between the virgins? One person says, and they say, well, say, it's a baptism with the Holy Ghost. But how are you going to tell who's got the Holy Ghost and who hasn't got the Holy Ghost? You've got people, they can look just the same, do the same things, anything else. One will be with the Word, and one will not be with the Word, because the Bible said at the end time there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, and they shall do such great signs and wonders that all but the very elect, in that word in the Greek is eklogos, those who come out by the Word. And this is the people here. What is it? Go, come out to meet him, is what? The cry that says, come to the Word. And they won't go to the Word, they go to the power instead. Strictly anointed to the power, but falsely anointed to the Word. See? Now, I started out this message. Just getting to the message now, so hold on. I started out, that's right, by mentioning that this same truth that I brought this morning on the restoration ministry of Elijah is found all over the New Testament if you only know what to look for. See? But these scriptures are not understood but are passed over because they don't know what we know on the ground that Elijah must first come and restore the Word. He's got to place it. See? He's got to reconcile it. And in so doing, this Word in the bride reconciles her, establishes her, and places her. You see, look, how in the world can there be a bride that doesn't die but is caught in the rapture until that word applies to her? Did a brother David apply to the first age? Wrong! It did not apply to the first age. There is a promise in the Bible that says, we shall not all sleep. That did not apply to the first age. So therefore, that was not the word of God for the first age. Is that right? It didn't apply to the second age. So therefore, it was not the word of God for that age. And don't tell me God hasn't got ages to bring his word to pass. People say there's not a message for every age. How sick can you get? No, people don't want to believe that. You know, that's the hardest thing I've had to fight in my whole life with Brother Branham, is to believe there's a message for every age. And I could pick up my book and say, well, it's the whole Word of God. No, sir, he's come to dead. He's come to dead man. It's already come to pass. The seven-day Adventist, you're trying to eat dead man and go back to Moses. Trying to go back to Saturday. Eat all you want, you have it. Call it the mark of the beast. Do anything you want, go back to the law. It's finished. You had it. Go back to Luther. You had it. Go back to Wesley. You had it. Go back to Pentecost. You had it. You say, but hold it. No, I'm not holding the thing. Pentecost over. That's all finished. The restoration is all done away with. If you Bible the thing, he says, not one word of God shall pass away until all be fulfilled. Then if it's fulfilled, it passes away. He said, does that mean I don't believe it? Sure you believe it. You believe every word in this Bible per se. You don't turn down one word. A woman went to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, when you preach that sermon, I got deserved. Do I have the Holy Ghost? He picked up the book and said, sister, you believe every word in this book? She said, I do. Then he said, you've got the Holy Ghost. And did he mean he said she really had it? He said, on condition, you believe every word. Now this morning, do I believe every word? As far as I know, I believe every single word. It's the Word of God. But do I believe a certain word to this day? No, sir, I can't, because it's been fulfilled. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's been fulfilled. I believe you can't change it. It was set there, but I'm not looking for it again. I'm not looking for Isaiah 53 again. Why should I? And how can anybody believe that William Branham is the Lord Jesus Christ? You're looking for Isaiah 53 again. Tell me you're not, because you have to be. came back born of a woman. In fact, you belong to ascended masters. You don't even know what you do belong to. You belong to the hyper-spiritism that's in the world, the ascended masters. Because of William Branham was Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was Jesus Christ, and Moses was Jesus Christ. Ascended master spiritism. So you're led by a devil. That's what has it. So I don't say Isaiah 53 has been fulfilled. I can't recall. Do I believe it? I absolutely believe it. Why do I believe it? I couldn't do without it. But it's a place. One of these days there's going to be no longer any advocate in heaven. You'll be down. What are you going to do then? You say, well, I believe there's an advocate. You say how I'm looking. You just hold it. You've got lost him right there. You hear what I mean? I'm talking about? Sure, I believe every word in this book. But brother, sister, you misapply this word, then you don't believe. You're believing a falsehood about it. That's why the prophet had to come and bring us this word, see? Now, looking at these scriptures that have to do with the Elijah ministry, we'll go to 2 Thessalonians to begin with. The second chapter. Beginning. No, first chapter. 7 verse. And you are troubled, yes, with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, him with his mighty angels, in flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now what is it? Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before this happens. Right?
Amen.
Then put it here. Reconcile your Bible. This is what I call believing the Word of God in every word. And I believe what the prophet meant. When you believe every word and believe it how it really is. Now then, listen to me. Let me put in here something to you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Because God will send Elijah the prophet to take away your unrest and establish it. So that you know before that day, you'll miss what's coming here. Is that right? Am I twisting scripture? No. Am I mislocating scripture? No. Am I dislocating? No. Am I misinterpreting? No. I'm laying it out exactly as it is in the Bible. But he said before the flames of fire would take judgment, Elijah would come. And remember, the great and dreadful day of the Lord is Revelation 1 and 10 that John saw in a 2-year period on Mount Patmos when the retributive wrath of God would fall at the end time. And Elijah's got to come before that. Now, in flames of fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about that? It tells you to think that God is going to bring vengeance and flames of fire upon those that don't know Him. Know what God? Elohim! Well, he said, I know Jesus. You know Him as Elohim? You know that Jesus said when He was here upon earth, if you believe not that I am, you are dead and you're dead in your sins? You'll die in your sins? How many of you believe that He's the I Am? Nobody but a few of us. And even those who claim to be one of us on the grounds of believing in one God, they got a Jesus-only doctrine. And that's entirely wrong. Lord Jesus Christ. And to believe the gospel and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And obey not the teaching, obey what teaching? Not that they think, but what he said. What did he say? How do you know? As that Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I know except some man tell me? That fellow without the Holy Ghost baptism had more knowledge of God without it than most people claim to have the Holy Ghost with it. Because they say, who do I need to teach me? They don't want anybody teaching you. If the Bible says you got to have somebody teach you. Because the only way to hear the Holy Ghost in every age is to hear the man that the Holy Ghost talks to. Sure, it sounds strange. You think a Pentecostal would grab that? Not the women preachers, especially. Now, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? What's that? The white stone judgment. Then he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you would be that day. Now, just a minute. What does Paul say to that first church age? He said his testimony among them was believed. What did Paul say? He said, if anybody preaches another Christ, or another spirit, or another gospel, let him be accursed. How can you find blessing then if you don't preach it, if you don't have the call then? How are you going to make the rapture? How are you going to know unless Elijah restores? How are you going to know unless there's an interpretation for this event? Because if you misinterpret, you miss it. Oh, that sounds harsh. That sounds harsh, but it's real. But how can you base your faith on what God has not truly said? Israel based its faith on what they believed God truly said, for God truly said it, but they had it the wrong place. Now do you see what it's to believe the Word of God every word in the book? It's to believe the Word of God correctly interpreted. And where it no longer applies for your day, you know it and you leave it. You don't try to make it reapply. You don't have Noah floating Israel out in an ark. And you don't have Jesus coming preaching the Ten Commandments. Although he mentioned most of them. See, you don't have him doing what Moses said. He fulfilled every law, but he took away the sacrifice and proved he could do it by the fact that he destroyed Jerusalem to do it. And then people say that God doesn't work by decrees. Oh, that's a laugh. See, God just knew what the fellow was going to do, so he called him elect. Then how come that God made sure there was no more sacrifice? He destroyed Jerusalem and scattered them. Why didn't he just say, you won't do it, and leave Jerusalem standing there? But God, knowing it, takes every measure to make sure it comes to pass. His foreknowledge is based on decrees. Now listen, wherefore also we pray always that God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. On what condition? On condition of the word, which is what Jesus said in John 17, and you that don't have the tape, get it, and I preach it here. Now, listen, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming future of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's not even going to be there. He'll be dead. He'll be in the grave. He's speaking of another era. Now, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering unto him. Brother Branham said that was the end time message. That's in the Visible Union on page 29 and paragraph 3. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by word, spirit, nor by word, nor as by letter much, as that day of Christ is at hand. See, that is not going to happen now. Let no man deceive of any means. That day shall not come except to come a falling away first. That's a divorce. Many people apply this to the Greek meaning, and they say a catching up. I don't see that in the Greek. I fail to see it in my studies of the scholars. I can only see a divorce, a separation. Christ cannot come for the bride until the divorce takes place of the unwise virgin. Why? Because they failed the word test. Now, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God, for that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, an absolute usurpation by the Antichrist. And what happens? The people put him there. The book of Ezekiel says, thy borders are enlarged by the sea. It tells you. What are his borders made up of the sea? In other words, the people make him as big as the devil will ever get. The church system makes the devil the greatest man of the universe. The church does it. Nobody else does it. The people do it. How big is the devil? As big as you and I make it. How big is God? We'll never change him. But to us, in many times, of faith, he's only as big as we let him be. If we don't let him be, you'll never change him anyway. He abides faithful. See, he warns you about that, but the devil's as big as you make him. Now, remember you not when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already here what's going on, said Paul. What was it? It was already in the elders. It was already in there as a false teaching. Men anxious to get a little group. Listen, if you're not called of God, stay out of that pulpit. Amen. Don't you dare get in there as a pastor. And don't you dare let you be an elder unless you know you have got that from God, which will let you stand in the breach. It's the most dangerous place in the world to either usurp authority or desire authority and then not be able to handle it. You'll lead a people astray just as sure as your life. You may think you're trying to better a condition, but you're worsening it. Because the mystery was there in the day of Paul, and he said, there will be a man come who's embodiment of the whole Bible thing. Not that the elder, the deacons, and Antichrist has no per se, but that spirit there. See? I say, Brother Dale, you're saying I shouldn't be an elder? No, sir. There's the good and the bad. There's got to be the good and there's got to be the bad. There's only five elected members which cannot be wrong. The apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, evangelist, although he's got five phony counterparts. That's five of grace. If God works in heaven, so he put in a deacon and an elder which men can have just like they wanted a king. And who becomes the king? Then the elder. He's called a bishop. Bishop so-and-so. Bishop, then cardinal, then monsignor, then pope. They go from purgatory straight to hell, don't they, in a hurry. Purgatory is the bishop, because he can go either way. From there on, they go to hell with the monsignor and the cardinal. Cardinal meaning chief. Pope meaning papa. Where'd they get that nonsense? Ridiculous. An educated people who could be Catholic. How can an educated person be a Catholic? How can a spiritual-minded person not see that where the Holy Ghost moves and one is false, the other is not false? See, look, when you see it just clear, brother, you know you're on the right track. Now listen here, there's got to be the two, I said. God works in seven, so he had to let the people have two to make up the ministry to seven, right? Surely. Now, but those who want to serve God without self-seeking, there is a line right down in the Word for that man. And notice now, I want you to notice right here, lest you should ever get in the trap, see? Let your man stay with that Word, and stay with the Word, and not be in all the pulling here and pulling there, mixing this, mixing that. Because, listen, an elder, what is he? Why, he's a fine fellow. He's not apt to, he says that he's apt to keep. Keep his family under control. He's not a brawler. Doesn't drink booze. Doesn't do this. Doesn't do that. Say, well, hey, that fellow's got to have it. Hold it. You don't got to have it. You can be the sweetest man living in this, that Word. He stay with the Word. But you still got to have the men because God laid them down. He said to Pastor Timothy, ordain elders. Get them peace. Raise them up. That's the will of God. Right, because it's his time. Do you think Adam couldn't get along better right? No, sir. He had to have the right, but that's the one that passed. Right? You've got to have elders in Egypt. You gotta take a chance, so to speak. You don't take a chance to get a man of God, sure, stick it away. Now, just not to scare anybody here, but the point is examine your hearts and all. Sure, we're not just doing body service. We've got to do it according to the Word now, see? We've got to have them. There's got to be elders. People get scared of elders. Why do you want to be scared? Just scared of you. What for? God said this. Sure. You can have a pastor phone you as a $3 bill. Why? Because he ain't a true pastor. If he's a true pastor, he'll be right with that Word. If he's a true elder, he'll be right with that Word. God ordained it. Stick with God's Word. Don't be scared. But I've got to show you here where it came from. It was that which was already working in a self-ordained person. See? Who wanted for his own aggrandizement to have a special privilege in the house of God. Now, listen. Then shall that wicked be revealed. What does he come out of? He comes out of the mystery of iniquity. He is the total perversion. The total perversion. See, stay with the Word, and you won't get perverted. Now, he says here, what's God going to do? The Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So God be that's his Word. Now listen, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, efficiency, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all the feebleness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because... Now listen, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now what did Paul say about that mystery? He said you're already churning from the Word and taking it from its original intent. And by doing it, you are placing yourself in order to get a following. Now there's your test right there. What's the man trying to do? Get a following or bring it to the Word? Any man can ever prove I'm trying to get a following anywhere. I'd better come to me and prove it. I want to know where I'm failing. Because I've got the exact personality that wouldn't give me a following if I tried to get it. And the first thing, I beat the brains out of it. The second place, I shun you. The third place, I don't seem to have the love, but I do love the Word. I couldn't build a personality. I'm not trying to defend myself or show myself. I'm going to tell you one thing, just giving you a point here. Paul was the same way. He said, you're a big mouth guy. He ain't good, he ain't handsome. Doesn't look nice to Google. Sure, they had everything against him. They had personality cults going for Apollos and the rest of them, but not for Paul. See? Not trying, no. You don't attempt, even as a pastor, you don't attempt to hold the people around you. Brother Branham never once tried to hold anybody. Except by the word of God. Sure feel sorry for him not just doing his ministry. Sure, I feel sorry for folks too. I get very upset at times when I see preachers running around using Brother Branham's message, and because they're not vindicating, he was, and then when they get him their side, they begin selling their little ideas. Looks to me like some of my best friends right now, pastors, are going to be fooled, but fooled bad by somebody right now. No, there's no place for personality, because William Branham never got anybody around him. She just let anybody come along and even take over when they shouldn't have taken over. And let God shake them off. The day he died, he was still cumbered. And if he came back, there was no doubt he would still be cumbered. No, we don't build personality cults. This does. You stay right here, you got to build me. You got to come around me. I'm going to do that. When a man's in off that spirit, you don't need to worry about him. You know, he's just good. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. He'll be all right. No, not me and my house and all that. No, see what he said here? Because, now listen, with all deceivableness, because they received not the love of the truth. Now, as I mentioned, they had it back in Paul's day. The truth. He said, I'm free from the blood of all men. Why? Because I've not failed to declare unto you the full testimony of God, the full oracle, the full counsel of Almighty God. I've brought it to you. But he said, I know the people are going to rise in and pervert this thing. Now listen to me. If this brings on this final fulfillment and this final age, now brothers, you watch it, if this final age goes down because they have not the love of the truth, now listen, and Paul said they pervert the truth, then, brother, sister, unless God restores the truth, God cannot judge any man for following the Antichrist.
That's right.
You're right. Absolutely right. Because God said, I'm going to allow the word to be perverted. Paul himself said, I fear, as Satan deceived thee, fornicating through the mind. Absolute spiritual fornication. It's opening your mind to the creed and dogma and taking it against the vindicated word. Remember, the Bible doesn't fight the Bible. The Bible doesn't fight, neither can any man prove the Bible by the Bible. The Bible can only be proved and vindicated by coming into manifestation. And when you see a vindicated prophet, he alone has the right to tell you what it says. That's what Paul said. So therefore, the Elijah ministry is the vindicated truth coming to the people, and when they turn it down, the Bible says God destroys them. Didn't he say, except I send Elijah, I'll destroy it? All right then, if he destroys, he's already sent Elijah, and then if they turn down Elijah, they turn down what? The truth. There it is. I know people don't believe that, but I've proved you by scripture because it does this. It lines up. There's your Elijah ministry, by an obscure scripture. Now listen, they believe not the truth, but they were damned that believed not the truth, but had pleasure in them. Like, what is truth? It's the word of the vindicated prophet. Now people say, yeah, but he can make a mistake. Then Jesus is a liar, because he said a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. How could the anointed prophet of God make an end? How could a true pastor, or teacher, or evangelist, or apostle, or prophet make an end? Yet people are going around so scared. How could a real elder make an end? Because you don't have any fear if you got a real name. How do you know? Stick with the word. Not trying to build a cult. Not trying to make gains. Has one of it, the word of God. That's the only check you'll ever have. There isn't any other check. If I came in here and gave you money and lavish love and was nicey-nicey, did everything in the world, say, Brother Dale's a real elder, you don't know. Check the word. What am I trying to do with my first name? That's your teacher. See, this fellow here has got one thing in mind. going to bring us all in one thing. He'll do it. You know more. You know as much as I do about it. Now listen, verse 13, well, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, that's election, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even belief of the truth. Make your call and election sure. How do you know you're one of them? Because you stand with that word. People understand about it? Who does understand about it? My Bible said it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here to there to it. We're growing day by day. And I say this, I believe that you are one of them and I am one of them. If and we open this word by the guidelines laid down by the prophet, we see scripture after scripture standing into that very word that he taught. Now the obscure becomes light. The dark things become clear. All right, let's go to 1st to 2nd Timothy with this very same scripture over here. I'll try to cut this down fast. Don't want to bore you because sometimes material is repeated even though other scriptures become redundant. Now, in 2 Timothy 3, 1-9, know this also, that in the last day perilous times shall come, meant to be in peril of life. In other words, you run a danger. God's speaking to his church. You run a danger. At the end time, there's going to be a certain type of peril at the end time. What is it? Men lovers their own selves. I told you they want to make a little trick out. He needs you. See? They love themselves. Love themselves too much, they've got to have a gang around. Covetous. Ask for your money. Boasters and proud. Oh, they'll tell you they got a ministry. You've got to listen to me. Blasphemers. That's what they are. Disobedient to parents. Well, you could make that physical or spiritual. Unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection. Truth-takers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady-minded, high-minded, heady, high-minded. Love of the pleasure more than love of God. Now listen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power from such turn away. Now listen. If I ever read anything in my life that sounds like a bunch of down-and-out, crackpot homosexuals, hippie-hippie, anarchist, filthy, this is what I believe. But that's not so. This is God's description of religious people at the end time. And their fornication is in the mind with the false word. Their high-mindedness is refusing to come under the word of the prophet. See? They're unthankful to the very thing that brought them into this world here, which is the bride being the carrier of the light to bring the word of God, they turn on it. It's a spiritual thing. Listen, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. They don't knock the door down and defile the women and steal all the goods. They knock on the door. Tap, tap, tap. Hello, honey. They sort of, They don't come with a bold knock and say, I come with the word of God. They say, how do you do? I perceive your soul. You have to see you. One of those. You have great insight. You can see the difference. And the foolish women, Baptist, you know the Laodicea, the word Laodicea is the only age which was used of prom women. You know, who's a prom woman? Miss Baptist. Miss Presbyterian. And Miss Assembly of God. And Miss Columbia. Oh, you lovely lady. That prophet? Oh, now Brother Branham's a fine man, but how could he be wrong? They just love that. Silly women. They creep into houses, just ease, and lead captive the silly women laden with short hair and slack, and women preachers. Led away with divers lust. Their fornication goes in every way. Until years ago, I was amazed when an old Pentecostal woman said to me concerning her great nephew who was a citizen. Now, Brother Dale, watch it. He may be in something deep, you know, deeper than he got. I said, you're right, sister, the deepest house is ever been. Women, the church. It doesn't talk about little silly women. It's just typing it. Although in some cases it holds good. But it's mostly it's the church. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And yet it says at the end time, the same ones will turn down the truth. So it's got to be there. See? Oh, they run from Methodist to Baptist, and Baptist to Presbyterian, and finally they get home at Pentecost, and they sink down in the last bit of vomit and lose in the dirt. Huh. This is what I was doing. naturally waiting for the Holy Ghost to fall upon your rotten carpet to make you think you had something. Absolutely deceived, because now you've got somewhere where it really doesn't matter. Because after all, now you have a manifestation, and you see, it didn't matter after all of it, because my Methodist brother, who said, I've got to be sanctified, and doesn't believe in falling away, he's got the doesn't believe in falling away, he's got the Holy Ghost, and my dear Baptist, which I am one, I believe you cannot fall away, and see, I've got the Holy Ghost, so hallelujah. Now listen, they never come to the knowledge of the truth, which is what? To Christ the Word. Listen, now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth. What truth? What truth? Well, there can't be a truth that Paul said way back there they're gonna fall into sin, the verse is gonna go down. How can Janus and Jambres withstand anybody unless there's something, unless there's somebody there with a something to withstand? If there's a Janus and Jambres, there's got to be a Moses. Now, who's Moses? Let's look at Moses for a minute. Anybody knows sitting here, if you've read history, that the law of Hammurabi predates Moses by centuries. This is why people don't believe in the law of Moses. And they believe in Hammurabi, or Hammurabi in pronounced. And they believe in the old philosophers. But they don't know this one thing, that these ancient men got all of their truth handed down. So what was it? It was the truth perverted that came to Hammurabi. It was the truth of all of these men that came down. And look at, brother, sister, the book of Genesis is full of surprises. If you look at it, you're going to find the death penalty here was in chapter 6. Whoso shed a man's blood by man, his blood be shed. That's one of your Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, see? You got a penalty on it. Now, all through Scripture, God dealt with his evil, but it wasn't written. So therefore, as the Bible was originally written in the stars, and it became perverted until in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, I guess it is, wasn't it? 6 or 7? 6, then. And then the 8th chapter. Where they begin to build up to the sky. Well, they didn't build a tower to meet the sky. They weren't fools in those days, think they could build a tower to the heavens. They built a tower unto the heavens, like I could build a statue unto Mary. Now, where's Mary? I don't build a statue to where Mary isn't about. I build a statue unto Mary. So what they did, and they still got it, is 7 acres of it, and it's still in existence. They've got the signs of the zodiac around it. And they were going to worship the creature and not the creator. And in the perverted worship of God, we come to the place where Moses is. Now, what's God going to do to bring Israel out? Is he going to bring Israel into the land without the word? No, sir. So Moses stands up not to bring the word, per se original, but to bring back the original word. So God gives him an absolute revelation of what that word always was. Now Moses brings it to the people, and those who take it, Caleb and Joshua, alone go in. Now, remember, God does the same thing. In the days of the end time, he brings us a Moses. Not that Moses will bring us a new Bible. Brother Branham, if you've got what you say you have, and I think you have, you could write a new Bible. What he does, he brings out the unperverted Bible, because it's been corrupted. See? So, as Janus and Jambres withstand the one with the truth, so my brother and my sister, they do it today. And as Janus and Jambres were shown by their folly that Egypt was destroyed and has never risen since, and I don't believe it ever will. I don't believe they'll let you go right there. They may try something, but they won't, as far as I know. They may have some kind of hassle, because I'm not a prophet. But God has said, I'm going to take care of Israel regardless of what happens. God will still bring her out, see? So it is in this day, the truth comes by a man. And there'll be a showdown, and it says their folly shall be manifested, because they will go into the great tribulation. There again is your Elijah message, as found in the book of 2 Timothy 3, 1-9. In Revelation chapter 22, and verses 18 and 19, he says, for I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophet of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. What are the plagues? The plagues of the great tribulation. So therefore, at the end time, God says, if any man adds to this book, which is what? Even a misinterpretation adds to the book. See? He said, I'll give him the plague, and if he takes out of the book, I will take his name out of the book, or his part of the book of life. Now, the book of life is at the end. We're an end time picture here. So, therefore, if any man will do this and be judged by God, it has to be by a conscious act on the part of that man, because God can and does when get ignorant. He does. And according to the Bible, if you don't have the law, you're judged by the law, and if you don't have the gospel, you're judged by the gospel. So therefore, if God is going to judge at this end time, which we're in, and he's going to condemn the man that adds to it or takes from it, then God has got to bring the full revelation into full view for this day before he comes. See? So Elijah must first come right here. Again, in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 12. Oh, my. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, leaving the teaching of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, how can you do that? People say, I'm going to tell you, I've gone past the Bible. I don't need the Bible. See, right there, they show what they are. But it does say, leave the teaching of Christ. Leave them. Leave them. And when you leave them, you open yourself to perfection. You don't lay again the foundation of repentance and dead works. What's repentance? Change of mind from the way you're going. And of faith toward God. Or the doctrine of washing and a laying on of hands. And of resurrection of dead and of eternal judgment. And that's the last place you can go. And this we will do if God permits. What if God doesn't permit? Now it says so. Now it says you need this to give yourself a chance to go to perfection. What if God doesn't permit? Because he might not permit it. He might not permit. Where is there a place in the Bible where he might not permit? He said, if Elijah doesn't come, then I'll destroy with the curse. What if God said, I don't think I'll let Elijah come? Then the rest cannot fall in line. Is that right? Neither can you go to perfection if God doesn't allow it. Now, you know what that really means. It means that God is going to hold it back until a certain time. And there's nobody going to get perfection until a certain time. Then when God wants that perfection, he'll bring it. And when you're going to get it, you lay down everything you were ever taught about God. And anything you ever thought you knew about baptisms and washings and laying on of hands and tongues and interpretation and gifts and this and that, you stop it. See? Why? Because it's worn out. Full of bumps. It's been perverted. Because the Bible says there isn't one table that's not full of bumps. The body is full of putrefying sorrows. Now, when we go to perfection, brother, sister, we can go to perfection on the ground that you drop everything you ever had, as Paul said, bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. See? There is then, there to do this then. Now, watch how it happens. For if this we do, he said, if God permits. Now God's going to permit. When? At the end time, because perfection comes in. It's impossible, not improbable, but it's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, not once enlightened, once for all enlightened. Brother Branham chattered, gorged, and shaped, this does the Greek. This is the end time, last time message. There's no more to follow. No other age, no other messenger, no other prophet. This is it. Who were once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God, and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away. No, sir. Having fallen away from what? From what? The end time message. The enlightenment. See, I hate to hit you, brother, sister, but I want to tell you one thing. You leave this. You're finished. You'll never repent again. Brother Branham categorically stated, if you do it, they put your ear to the wall and punch a hole, and you'll never hear again. Just one word. Be careful you don't turn down any. Don't turn down one word, because this is the once for all enlightenment. There isn't any more. And to turn it down, there is no more repentance. There is no more change of mind. You'll never make it from that time on. Seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh. See, not saying this is a type of crucifying it, but It says they do literally crucify what? The Word. When He comes back, as that Word revealed, they literally crucify Him. The second time, they put Him to an open shame, just like Israel, and they show they turned down Christ all the time, religious, talking in tongues, and you can just, oh, this is right, yes, that is right, but I don't agree with that one thought. Then, brother, sister, either He was the Son of God, or He wasn't the Son of God. Either He is the Word, or He isn't the Word. You turn Him down as part of the Son of God, you turn Him down part of that Word, you turn it down all. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't have God in your own choice. It won't work. Now listen, it says, and He explains it now, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. Remember, we're God's husbandry. And what is the rain? It's the Word. Bringeth forth herbs meet to them by whose flesh receives blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. That didn't happen back there in the first age. They weren't nigh to cursing. They had 2,000 years ago. It didn't happen in the second age. It didn't happen in the third age. Nor the fourth, nor the fifth, nor the sixth. It can only happen in the seventh. In the days of the voice of seven messengers, when He should begin to sound the mystery of God's beginning. Every said the complete full revelation of Jesus Christ him into full bloom, and there they turn Him down and crucify Him. And it says here, it is what it be what you, what they become. They become briars fit for burning. But notice, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. What accompany salvation? Well, not necessarily tasting the good word, power of the world to come, taste the power of God. All these things, you can have it and still miss it. That's not salvation. What is it? It's the Word. Having been enlightened. See? Now, what must Elijah do? Elijah must first come and restore, or what? Cursing. Now, if he comes to restore, what is it? Blessing. Now, what's he going to do? What's the restoration? It's the last end time message, the message that pertains to this church age, that puts this church in order, that brings into full view the Word of God relative to a bride being called a communion. That's your message. Now, without belaboring the point, turn to James, the fifth chapter. Verse 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it. What's the fruit of the earth? The body's in it. Until he, Jesus, receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. All right. Even Jesus Christ cannot come until Elijah comes. Jesus Christ cannot come until restoration. Jesus Christ cannot come and bring about a resurrection until the former and latter rain. What is the former and latter rain? Over in Joel. He said, I will restore, saith the Lord, what the farmer and the canker and the caterpillar and the locust ate. And remember, when they eat all of that, there's no farmer sitting here but knows. When they get to your crop and they destroy that crop, there's only one thing the farmer can do, and that's break up the ground and plant it again. But he doesn't dare do that as a farmer at the end of the season. He won't get a crop. But God can do it, because God said, I'll break that fallow ground. He said, I'm going to plow it up in Isaiah there. And he said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to plant it. And when God plants it, what? He plants it with the original seed. Because the former rain is the teacher and the teaching. And God said, I've given you that former rain moderately, but I'm going to cause to come down to you that former rain, not moderately, but in full revelation. God at the end time will give His bride a full revelation of that word, and the Bible said that's what Elijah's going to do, is restore. So therefore Elijah brings the restored word of Almighty God, according to Joel 2, 23, 25, and according to James 5. And also in James 1 and 18, it says, 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down the Father of light. He enlightens it. With whom is no variableness, doesn't change his word, nor a shadow turning. What he does, he keeps on doing. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. Now Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is the first fruit. And we are a kind of first fruit. In other words, we're the same kind that he is. Now what is he? He is the word. So we are begat by the word, which is what? The word of truth. So therefore, at the end time, my brother, sister, get this and get a plane. When you speak of being born again, remember, the body's got to be born out of the ground. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from among the dead. Every body that's down here has got to be born out of this earth. Now, we at the end time, we will not be born out of the earth. We're going to be born out of these bodies standing here. So therefore, it's the truth of God Almighty in these bodies to give us our resurrection life and put us in the rapture. Elijah must first come. Yes, I told you this morning, brother, sister. I can take scripture after scripture. I won't do it. Compare this to 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Descending with the shout, which is the message. Then the dead come out of the ground. Then the Mary supper. All of these things. I can take scripture after scripture and show you that it is the truth. That they're back to our primary thought. There are two comings. The first coming is over and gone. The second one brings in the kingdom of our God, and it is at hand. But Elijah must first come. And remember, I say unto you, concerning William Branham, the words of Jesus Christ, which he said about John, and if you will receive it, this is Elijah which was for to come, and they knew it not, and they had done to him that they listened. Brothers and sisters, your Bible is full of the truth. Except people have not understood these truths. They have looked at them. They have misplaced them. They have miscalculated. They have not known. But the Bible said at the end time, when that messenger, the messenger of the covenant, Jesus Christ by the pillar of fire, would descend to this earth, there would be a man on this earth, a prophet, and in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, which is Elijah, the mystery of God, would be finished, that brought into consummation and perfection, as God had declared the good news of his gospel by his servant the prophet. You could face it a thousand ways. The world may be in doubt concerning the truth. But to me, and to you who know the world, there is hardly a place where we see the message slamming right through the entire Word of God. That is, Elijah must truly come and restore. What's he going to restore? He's going to restore the Word to the branch. And when he does, it is this restored Word that brings her to herself to a place of restoration. What am I looking for? I'm looking for the promise of God to be absolutely demonstrated in a bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking to see, as Brother Branham looked to see, a small group of people who one day standing on this earth will be so changed they can be caught up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. What am I depending on? I'm depending on this Word. Because it's the Word that it has within it that sees the complete power of transformation to take these vile bodies of ours and make them like unto his own glorious body. He may be a part of that kingdom of which Elijah must first come in order that we be that part. Brother, sister, listen to me. Never fail to understand it and never cast it aside. Abraham received a promise that in him a son would come and all nations should be blessed. We today, like Abraham, have a promise. And that is, I will restore, said the Lord. Restore where? Right back to Eden. Not partway, not halfway, but all of it. I will restore. Who's going to do it? God's going to do it. Not you doing it, not me doing it. That's why the prophet warned us in the words of Paul. Read the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews sometime. Start with the 6th. The 8th chapter. Read through carefully. Remember, at the 8th chapter that Brother Branham didn't continue it, he stopped at the 7th. I think that's right. He never finished. But he left 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, 13. Read them for yourself. And you'll see where we stand right today. He didn't need to tell us anymore because those chapters bring you right into the Elijah ministry restoration. And then at 12, he humbly begins to say, look now, folks, I want to let you know something. Love each other. Love each other. Be sweet. Be kind. Embrace those that have the authority over you. Don't turn your back. But take them in your arms. That word fruit means take them in your arms. 3 times in 1 chapter, he said, rule, rule, rule. Today, in this ministry, I'm so amazed that people don't understand the Word of God. Shows where they stand. If they only listen to the prophet, they know that God has sent men in the church not to hurt, not to build, but them. But in order to bring the Word of God, to encourage them, to help them to come to this place, stand and look at what God did. Don't turn your back on it. Don't doubt it. Don't be like the kid that plants the seed and then runs next morning to see if there's a stalk there. Until finally, by digging up, the poor kid breaks off the stalk, expends the energy, and you never get across. Brother, sister, listen. Didn't the prophet say these words? He said, I, the Lord thy God, the God of planted. And he said, all water? Sure. That's any man to pluck it out of my hand? No. Don't worry. If we have this message, and we do have it, there's only one thing that you and I are to do, and I know we're failing to do. We're failing to be gentle and kind and loving. As Brother Branham said, a man is a sinner. He can't help being a sinner because he is a sinner. So therefore, there's a scripture that he opposes that. We have not come to the place, and may God help us too. Or I believe it might be too late for all of us, and somebody else is going to make the bride that we talk about to be a part of. To get down to this, be more kind and gentle and loving. To come back where it is. Everything else has been done. Everything. See, which way is this all going to go, Brother Bill? I don't know. All I know is this. If there's something coming in the resurrection for those 30 to 40 days, and there could well be, because the way I read my Bible, I have no doubt there'll be something wonderful done while the saints are coming out of the ground and we're on earth. What it is, I don't know. I don't know. But I know there's one way to be ready for it, and that's to believe and have perfect confidence in this word. We believe it all the way. And to show our faith in the man that brought it is to attempt with all the sinners, as Paul said, to be loving and kind and true. No giving to arguing for it. Now, there may be times you got to set for the sense of God. There may be times you got to stand. That's all right. God never said to lie down. But God said, be careful in the manner in which you do. You follow me? We know the word this morning. May others come to know that we are that word. The Lord bless you. Let your eyes be with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's been good to be here with your people, Lord. Simply take the things of God. To go with those things, Lord, as Paul said, they already knew. But and Peter said also, it's good to refresh the mind. And Lord, this morning and this day, when realize so many people are wondering, and the question around the country is in their confusion, am I making any progress? What is going on? Lord, I can only say the things the prophet said. Bring the people right back to that word and stand on it. That you sent a vindicated man. Where else is there to go but to stay with the vindicated word? Oh God, I don't know what's coming in the future, but I know one thing, and this is sure truth, that you're faithful. And you are not leaving your people here in darkness, Lord. No, sir, because the evening light has come. We've gone the waterway. We've gone through it. Lord, we know what it is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what it is, Lord, to accept His word. Father God,